I'm going to say 68, but I think he might be in the 70s. You're an unusual man, but you're right in the window. You're hanging on by a thread. He's 71 today, the boss. 71.
Right.
Happy birthday to the boss. Love the boss. Born to Run.
D?
It is one of my favourite songs. What's that?
I said D.
Yeah, I love the boss. The boss is very good. Very good. Enjoy the boss's work. Born in the USA, obviously, was a big hit for him. Early 80s as well. And speaking of the USA, there's plenty happening in that sporting landscape. Beautiful segue from me. Phil Murphy is the host of ESPN Sports Center. He's with us again on a Wednesday morning. Good morning, Phil.
You are the master of the segue. That was outstanding.
Don't Look, encourage that, him, Phil. That sort Don't of encourage him.
That sort of recognition is much appreciated, Phil. Appreciate it from you.
Of course. And Bruce Springsteen speaks my heart. He's actually born in the same hospital as my dad, 10 years apart. But, you know, that, he's a local legend where my family's from. So keep it coming.
Yeah. We will do that. We will keep it coming. Hey, tell us, the NBA picture at the moment, it's pretty good fun to watch, I must admit. It's obviously a different experience for all of us, but it's pretty good fun to watch. How have you seen how we've gone so far to date in the NBA playoffs?
Oh, I mean, it's brilliant theater. They have done a tremendous job with bringing atmosphere to an arena that, frankly, should not have it. I mean, these arenas in which they're playing these games are primarily utilized for youth tournaments and just handling a busloads and plane loads of kids from around the United States and even some other parts of this hemisphere for national tournaments in various sports. And they have turned it into an NBA, essentially, arcade. And you watch that game between the Lakers and Nuggets game, too. Yeah, it would have been tremendous if that were at the Staples Center and you would have seen the shot of the crowd erupting. Obviously, that's not tenable in this environment. But aside from that, I was watching the final minutes on knife's edge. I mean, it was tense. The shot went up. I made an involuntary noise when Anthony Davis' shot went in. And for a moment, you forgot you were watching a stadium with, 80 people in it. That's it. So the NBA has done a tremendous job. The players are competing at a high level. And we have a compelling conference finals now, with the Lakers seemingly the odds-on favorite to win a title. And for them, what has been an even more emotional season than even other teams.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, with the Kobe situation and the build-up to it, let alone the impact of the COVID virus on the competition. And we've got good conference finals because it's LA and Denver, and Denver with the 3 seeds. And the other side is Miami-Boston. Miami with a... what were they? The 5? Actually, that's an interesting conference. They were the 5 seed, and Boston were the 3 seed. So we lost Milwaukee and Toronto out of that, probably unexpectedly. Particularly Milwaukee with that 4-1 series win by Miami. But that series looks like it's going to be a very, very deep series. They'll probably go to 7 that one, you'd think, Miami and Boston, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that one, it's a very compelling game-within-a-game situation. Miami has just been phenomenal in the postseason. They really are peaking at the right time. They have a veteran leader in Jimmy Butler, a very balanced side, and they play ferocious defensive basketball. They'll play a 2-3 zone defense, which you don't see a lot in the NBA, and in fact, you don't see from Miami unless they're playing two teams, the Sixers and the Celtics. In the playoffs, in their first 2 series against the Pacers and the Bucks, they ran 0 zone sets in the half court. They run it against the Celtics almost a quarter of the time. And in the first 2 games of that series, the Celtics shot 30% offensively when they faced the zone. They made some adjustments. They started screening guys away from the ball. And in game 3, they shot 59% against the zone defense. And it's the one game they won. And it was the most lopsided game of the series. So it will be interesting when they resume to see how much Miami deploys the zone and what adjustments they make to the Celtics adjustment. So if you know what to look for in that game, when Miami's on defense, if it's not man marking, if it's zonal marking, that's where the game will be won or lost.
So just, Phil, looking at where things are at the moment, if you had to name the best two teams in basketball, who do you think they are?
I would say reflexively. When I ask that question, my immediate thought process goes toward how good is your good? On any team's given day, who has the highest ceiling? And for me, that's the Lakers are number one because they have not just the best player on the planet in LeBron James. They also have Anthony Davis, who is a fellow first-team All-NBA player, the NBA's equivalent of the All-Australia team. You get the 5 best for the NBA because they start 5 guys. And the Lakers have 2 of the 5. Then I would say it's a decent step down before you get to Boston, who I have slightly ahead of Miami. I just think Boston has more offensive versatility. And you have to remember, they got Gordon Hayward back. His first game of these playoffs was game three of this series. He suffered a high ankle sprain, and then his wife gave birth to his son, so he had to leave the bubble. So between the quarantine and the rehab, his first game of the playoffs for Boston was game three, and they went in and they beat the Heat pretty handily. So I would say Lakers and Celtics are 1-2. And if you are a neutral, I mean, that's the rivalry you want. That is, they've met in the finals time and again. The one downside of all of it is that you wouldn't see a series like that take place at venues in Boston and Los Angeles, because those arenas would just be going off the rails. But if we can have, you know, any finals that steeped in storyline, those are, I think, the two best teams, and they certainly have the most rich history.
Can you share with us a little bit more about Anthony Davis? Because I thought it was really interesting when he threw up that buzzer beater the other day. His response was, well, that's why they got me to Los Angeles, for those sort of moments. Now, obviously, LeBron James will overshadow everybody, but as you said, Anthony Davis is an outstanding basketballer himself. How has he fitted into the Lakers, and just how good is he?
Well, I mean, and the thing is, LeBron is the unquestioned leader of that team. I'm not going to come out here and say Anthony Davis is the better player, but statistically, he is averaging more points, more rebounds, more blocks, and more steals than LeBron. LeBron has him in assists, and again, you know, game on the line, generally speaking, you would want LeBron James with the ball, but Davis was on fire in the second half, and he's been shooting very well from outside the perimeter or outside the paint in this series, shooting 48% on jumpers this postseason. That's third best in the NBA. That's for a guy who has the size of a traditional center. So we saw him against the Rockets, just dominating inside. Well, the Nuggets have more height, more size inside, so he's been able to go outside and stretch that defense a little bit, which has only favored the rest of the Lakers. It's why they're up 2-0 in this series and have a decent chance to go up 3-0 tonight, or today, for you guys. It's not something that any team has ever come back from. But what he really did for LeBron, I think, in Game 2 was save the narrative, because LeBron actually had a very pedestrian, even subpar, second half in that game against the Nuggets in Game 2. And had that shot from Davis, that contested three-pointer, rattled out, well, the narrative in American sport would have been, wow, is LeBron James lost it? Does he still have that killer instinct? Can the Nuggets beat the Lakers? And now people are talking sweep, because one shot went in. So, you know, whenever they get out, LeBron is a wine aficionado. He owes Anthony Davis a bottle, I would reckon, because that took a lot of pressure off LeBron in this series, who has been tremendous this playoffs. He just had a couple, he faded late the last two games. I expect him to get on track later today.
That's the NBA scene. What about the NFL? We're a couple of weeks into that now. Who's the Lakers of the NFL? Baltimore seemingly have got out of the box pretty early in the AFC North.
Yeah, I would say in the AFC, it comes down to three teams. It's the Chiefs, the defending champions, who have the reigning Super Bowl MVP, and, you know, the half-billion-dollar man, Patrick Mahomes. It's the Ravens, who have Lamar Jackson, the reigning league MVP, and they actually meet Monday Night Football. It'll be Tuesday midday on ESPN in Melbourne. So those two teams are the two class of the AFC. And then I would say third, right behind them, is the Patriots. I don't see any other team in that side representing the AFC in the Super Bowl, but they seem to be a cut above. The NFC is a mess. I mean, I would have tipped the Saints to make it all the way through, and then they lost yesterday to the Raiders in a game, frankly, they should not have. The Seahawks look great. The Packers look like they've returned to form behind Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there are any number of teams in the NFC. You have Tom Brady lurking out there with the Buccaneers. The NFC seems pretty wide open and compelling. The NFL, the biggest thing for them is that there have been no positive COVID-19 tests. They're not operating in a bubble. These teams are flying city to city. 53 players, plus 16 practice squad members, plus coaches. It's a lot to corral. And 2 weeks so far, they've been okay. One referee tested positive during week one. He quarantined, self-isolated. They did the contact tracing. No one in the NFL got it. So that's the biggest thing for the NFL, just guys staying healthy. But from that end, the COVID health is fine. There are so many guys suffering ligament and soft tissue injuries, ACL tears for Saquon Barkley, Cortland Sutton, Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, Christian McCaffrey suffered a high ankle sprain, multiple quarterbacks going down with shoulder injuries. So you wonder, did the absence of a preseason and semi-full speed reps cause these guys to go from 0 to 60 and their bodies not be able to take that violent turn? That's been the narrative there, is how many more of these significant injuries are we going to see in the early parts of this season?
Yeah, and you mentioned the Saints yesterday, and Drew Brees wasn't able to get it done against the new Las Vegas Raiders and the brand new stadium there. They had their first win in the new stadium. Just an overall assessment of the importance of having a team in Vegas and the response they're getting. Obviously, no fans involved at the moment, but I imagine it'd be pretty well received, particularly if they win a few games. John Gruden is the head coach. There's a bit of sparkle about this Raiders team.
Yeah, and it shows a massive philosophical change for the National Football League. It was only 5 years ago that Tony Romo was banned from speaking at an event in a Las Vegas casino because of this adjacency to gambling or punting area. And now 5 years on, the team has, or the league has a team based in Las Vegas. So it is, I think, the NFL catching up with the times there. I mean, in American sport, it's just been taboo to have, you know, punters markets and sports so close to each other. But Vegas is the new home of the Raiders. The league has embraced it. That city has embraced that. That's why, for me, that was the one downside. And again, it was understandable. But the atmosphere in that arena, if there were 65,000 strong, as the Raiders came from behind to beat Drew Brees and the Saints, I think would have only made it so much more memorable for those players. The Raiders are a likable team. Derek Carr is a tremendous human being and a very talented quarterback. And it looks like they have a nice young team. They're cobbling together, and I don't think they're gonna threaten Kansas City in the division, but they're gonna take a step forward, it seems, this year. But yeah, Vegas, you would think for an NFL side, you're thinking, oh, so many people travel there and they want to catch games. The Vegas Golden Knights, the NHL, were very quickly adopted as the home squad, and I think Las Vegas residents are so hungry for something that's not designed for tourists, but that's actually theirs. And the Raiders are that, and I think they will be that. They won't have any supporters in the stands until next season, but I think it'll be worth the wait, assuming they're able to go back safely in 2021. I think you're going to see some of the best atmosphere in the NFL at Allegiant Stadium, which is affectionately known as the Death Star.
Which is great. I tell you what they do have. They've got a magnificent tight end. That Waller fella, he's something else.
Oh, yeah, he's quickly emerging as one of the best tight ends in the league. I mean, you have, you know, Travis Kelce and George Kittle, and, you know, certainly Gronk on a good day can be up there. Waller and Jonnu Smith, I think, are two names to watch this year as emerging tight ends. Very important position, and the Saints did not have an answer for him. They tried throwing safeties at him, linebackers, corners. Whatever the matchup was, it was a mismatch, which is why he feasted in that game, and frankly, he's why the Raiders won.
Spot on.
Phil, just finally, sort of put you out of the pump a little bit, but how many people actually live in Las Vegas as opposed to the tourists that go there for a variety of different activities?
It's a solid population. I don't know if you've ever been to Las Vegas. Yeah. I mean, the Strip itself, it looks like Disney World, but the city has close to 700,000 residents, so it's not a major city, but it's decently sized because, again, so many of those casinos, they need to be operated by people who live locally. And then, you know, there's other industry out there. It's a tax safe haven also for the United States. It's one of the few states that doesn't have a state income tax. So you're seeing a number of businesses headquarter themselves there because it's so close to cities like Los Angeles. It's a four-hour drive or, you know, an hour flight, similarly to Phoenix. So as the United States slowly expands west with our population, it is a nice oasis that's not as expensive as the coast that is strategically placed. So you're seeing about 700,000 people there, but it is growing. So that number is going to go up. And again, you now have two professional sports teams there at the top level with the Golden Knights and the Raiders. It wouldn't surprise me if at some point the NBA, for example, just takes a quick look, has a peek, and gives it a second chance to see if maybe Vegas could host an NBA team as well. They certainly have the arena space for it.
I reckon they'll get some players keen to play there, Phil, the way things have gone in the party town with the NBA players of recent times. Good on you, buddy. Always nice to chat. Great little stat, too, about the Bruce Springsteen Hospital thing. That's fantastic. Great opener from you. Well done.
Hey, I appreciate it, my friend. Have a good rest of your day.